happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humble Bee Enterprises. I'm very excited to be here with a special guest. We have Yasmin Edge, who is project manager for the Mid-South Atlantic Small Business Transportation Resource Center. And before we begin, just wanted to say that the Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy is available now as an ebook and a physical book. You can acquire your copy online from Barnes & Nobles or Amazon, or even if you wanted the ebook, you can get that bad boy for Apple Books or wherever you get your ebooks from. It is going to be available there. And as we have been discussing for nearly the last 14 months, the market, the transportation market, the freight market has slowed significantly, and margins are paper thin. Because of this, many motor carriers have been pushed out of the industry because there are so few profitable opportunities. It is because of this, these things that we're even having this conversation while we're talking about government contracting as a possible pivot for those who, you know, have the skill set to become ready, willing, and able to, you know, hop into the government contracting side of things. And I mention this because even me as an independent dispatch agency owner, I have seen those, you know, those rates compressed. I've been affected. And, you know, because of that, I've noticed, right, for the past few weeks, a lot of the things that I'm, you know, thinking about is money, you know, praying about for abundance and increases. And, you know, just recently, last week, last Thursday specifically, I had an incident that redirected me so quickly for, you know, what's really important. And, you know, what I wanted to share is, you know, I go to the gym pretty consistently as a part of my morning routine. And it just so happened to be something that I do very routine-like, you know, just a little incline bench, you know, left me last Thursday a little, you know, different, affected. When I went to rack the weight, apparently I didn't rack it all the way, and I had about 75 pounds like fall onto my neck. You know, a bar fell onto my neck. And, you know, after it happened, I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Obviously it hurt, but it fell onto my neck, which means it could have been something way worse. You know, as of now, I'm good. You know, I'm walking around, no problem, no issues. But, you know, it's just, it made me think to be grateful, because I'm over here thinking about, you know, funds. And as soon as something like that happened, it just made me so appreciative and grateful for that protection, you know what I mean, that God had out for me, because it could have been way worse. You know, weight falling on my neck like that could have been paralyzed. Yeah, I know I just had a baby. So, you know what I mean? It just had me real emotional on the side of just really, you know, keeping things first that should be first. And, you know, that kind of makes me want to open up this question to you, Ms. Edge. Well, first off, thank you so much for joining me. And I guess the question to you would be, have you ever been redirected, or, you know, to prioritize something that's most important versus, you know, maybe where you were putting your attention at first?
Yeah. So one, I guess, good afternoon to everybody. I would have to say, since college, I have never known to like not have multiple jobs. Like, that's just always been my nature. So freshman year of college, I'm working on campus, I'm working off campus, I'm doing things in the summer, all those good things. And I thought that was just like the way to go. And so it wasn't until honestly last year, I was really forced to recognize that that's just not the way to work, the way to live life. And I came to that realization once I popped a blood vessel in my eye, which was hyper scary. But it's the result of me working two full-time jobs and some additional part-time jobs, staring at multiple screens for 10 plus hours a day, working sometimes 6-7 days a week, not taking days off, not sleeping much, or having a hard time falling asleep, all those things. And so once that happened, I was forced to really prioritize my health, and just realize that I can put all this work in, but if I'm not alive to like reap the benefits, then it's pointless.
100%. I agree with you. Thank you for sharing that. And that kind of goes into similar to what I was talking about last week. It's just, it came out that, you know, self-care is a huge thing and most people don't even know what it means. So I'm happy that you were able to find out what it meant to you. I mean, what did that look like? How'd you cut back? I mean, I know that's an extra question, but.
No, you're fine. Essentially, I just had to assess the opportunity cost of all the work that I was doing. So I was a program manager for one organization. I was also a contracted project manager for another organization. I was also a copy editor for a museum. And then I was also doing project management work with another organization. So really just figuring out like what's my end goal in all the work that I'm doing, and what opportunities currently align the most with that. And if they don't align, so just let it go.
Right, but right.
It was an issue like learning how to let it go without fear. This idea that I won't get this opportunity again, so I have to hold on to it like for dear life. Just learning how to like let that go and have a mindset of like things flow to me naturally. So whatever I have to, you know, let go, it can be replaced. My eye cannot be replaced.
Right, right, right. No, I love it. And I appreciate you for, you know, being transparent and open and share that. And look, I'm very happy that I got a chance to meet you. Everybody, she and I got a chance to meet at the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Small Business Contractor Symposium, which was hosted by Yasmin's office, which I said earlier, the Mid-South Atlantic Small Business Transportation Resource Center. And, you know, just to get started, can you tell us a little bit more about your office? Like, what are your main objectives and who do you guys report up to?
Okay. So one, our host is the Greater Atlanta Economic Alliance. The Alliance has done a lot of amazing work in Atlanta and Georgia in general. So they've worked with Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, the Georgia Department of Transportation Supportive Services, and they've actually been doing this work with USDOT since 2004 as the person leading the Mid-South Atlantic SBTRC effort. So the objective of our office is to simply put, increase the development of disadvantaged business enterprises, which we call DBEs. So firms who are seeking to contract on federally funded transportation and construction projects with the state, with the government. Our office specifically, because there's other SBTRCs throughout the United States, we specifically cover Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And I think it's important to kind of mention like why we do this work. So the Department of Transportation contracts with DBE firms who provide an array of services. So not just construction, but also trucking, professional services, design services, all of those things. And they do this because they are required to have DBE participation, at least 10% on all federally funded projects. So for example, in Georgia, the airport, they have to have 10% DBE participation, MARTA, the DOT, the Georgia Port Authority, and the same applies to Tennessee and South Carolina. So if you are a DBE firm, you can definitely be a part of projects. Let's say if you're in South Carolina, the South Carolina DOT, or even Charleston International Airport. If you're in Tennessee, then TDOT, essentially.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. And look, as I told you at the event, that symposium was very well done. I was very impressed, you know, the knowledge that I gained. And, you know, one of the things that I left the symposium with was the knowledge of the Department of Transportation having a very easy to navigate procurement forecast for upcoming procurement needs. And for ease, I kind of, you see, if you guys can see, it's this link up here. If you click this link, you'll be able to see, it'll take you to one of those opportunities. I actually posted a few things for this specific session, but I thought that was pretty cool that now all those solicitations, those projects, those procurement activities, it's in a very easy to navigate location. So definitely check that out. And for those who were not able to attend the symposium, what was the purpose of the symposium?
So it's such a mouthful to say, but
right.
The Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Small Business Contractor Symposium, Jesus. It was designed with small female and minority owned businesses and enterprises in mind. So our theme was advancing equitable infrastructure opportunities. So we brought together procurement, construction, and transportation experts to provide their expertise on panels. So during the symposium, we talked a lot about the, I'm going to call it the BIL, which is going to be the acronym for Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and essentially how to foster sustainable relationships with DBEs to increase their participation on these projects where they're required to be a part of the work. But I also want to kind of highlight why the infrastructure, the bipartisan infrastructure law is important. So very long story short, in 2021, President Joe Biden, he signed an act into law, which was the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. And so essentially, this is the largest long-term investment in our infrastructure and economy in the nation's history. It provides $550 billion over fiscal years 2022 through 2026 in new federal investment in infrastructure, including roads, bridges, mass transit, and all those things. So if you're interested in doing work, let's say with like the FHWA, you can just like go to their website, and they actually have like fact sheets that break down, like depending on what specific industry you're in, like how you can benefit from this law being in place. The good news is it's only 2023. This started last year. So there's still so much money on the table for DBEs, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses, your AA businesses, all of those businesses to tap into this resource. Because, again, like there's a set-aside piece of the pie for these businesses to do some of this work.
Right. No, I appreciate you mentioning that. You said an acronym for a different office in case you wanted to work with them. You said FHW, what? What does that stand for?
It's the FHWA.
Okay, and what does that stand for?
That is the Federal Highway Administration.
Okay. Yay, I appreciate that. You know, acronyms, they run deep in the government.
They do.
You know what I mean? And I do want to shorten it. I do want to call it the BIL because, Jesus, you know, yeah, it is a lot to say that. But I truly appreciate you. And we even had a question that is right online. You know, for the people who are not in the Mid-South Atlantic, that are not in Georgia, South Carolina, or Tennessee, how would they find their respective offices? Like, how would they be able to participate or find people to help them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the really cool thing is that, one, the SBTRCs, they fall under the OSDEBU office under USDOT, and another acronym, OSDEBU, stands for the Office of Small and Disadvantaged Business Utilization. And so there's actually 12 SBTRCs under that umbrella all throughout the United States. So even if you aren't in Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, in my region, depending on what state you're in, there's most certainly an SBTRC that serves that state, where they pretty much offer the same resources that we offer.
Gotcha. Okay. And, I appreciate it. Like I said, that was a great event. I hope to attend some other opportunities to learn some more. What other events are on the agenda for the remainder of this year?
So we plan on hosting another bonding education program and some WITI events, and WITI stands for Women and Girls in Transportation Initiative. So because I know I'm sure someone may ask, like, what is a bonding education program? So the bonding education program, also known as BEP, we love acronyms for real, is a multi-component program designed to pretty much address what businesses need to do to become bond ready when competing for these contracts. So each BEP workshop includes like webinars with some industry professionals for business development. And we also provide one-on-one business counseling sessions to help individual businesses compile the necessary documents to complete the bonding application. So this program is really tailored towards businesses who are actively trying to compete for those transportation related contracts. The end goal is to just increase small businesses' economic competitiveness, to maximize opportunities by becoming surety bonded, to compete for the contracts. So we want you to understand what risk management is, because that's hyper important in doing any type of work with the government. Understand safety, workforce development, and company capabilities.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. And, you know, because we're here, we might as well talk more about bonding and, like, what does it mean and all that stuff. And just to let everybody know, I also posted some resources from her office, you know, of past events, past training sessions that kind of allow you to go in to see some of these different topics. It's a wealth of knowledge. I think there might even be about 30 sessions, something close to that. About all different topics, but definitely bonding is one of those. So definitely, if you're looking to get some more specific information, I would definitely tell you to click that link. But also, you know, what does it mean to be ready, willing, and able, or ready, willing, and bondable? And what does that really mean?
So to, like, break it down by each word. So to be ready, that essentially means that you are, like, actively in pursuit of contracts. You're actively bidding and you're knowledgeable. Like, you know where the contracts are, you know what's required, all of that. Then to be willing, that means that your business is commercial, it's useful, and it's functional, which there's an acronym for that too. It's called CUF. And so this is what agencies are looking for to make sure businesses are managing their work. So one, you're in business, two, you can manage your work, and three, you are the business decision maker of your business. And then lastly, able, which simply put means that you have the ability to actually perform the project from beginning to end, and you have the capability to handle your assets and the funding. So that's what being ready, willing, and able. And that does feed into you being bondable, or being able to get a bond. I mean, because essentially that just means you have all of your business affairs in order.
Okay. You know, and that kind of answers a question. The question was going to be, you know, why is it so important for new companies looking to participate in government contracting to first get educated on bonding and what it means and all that kind of good stuff? So you basically just answered that one.
Well, I can add a little more meat to that.
Okay, got you. Let me hear it.
Yeah. So, well, one, under the Miller Act, and I won't get, like, extra deep into that, but essentially bonding is required for public funding, construction, and public work projects that exceed $250,000. And there are three different types of bonds under this act. And so just very high level, you have your bid bond, which pretty much ensures the price submitted at the time of the bid is honored. You have your payment bond, which ensures that your suppliers, manufacturers, and workers are paid on time. And then you have the performance bond. So if the contractor fails to perform, it covers the owner if they must pay for, like, the substituted work to still make sure the project is completed. But bonding in general is a safeguard for the owner from liability, essentially if the contractor fails to pay people or simply are not able to do the job, like they oversold themselves. And now that the work has started, everyone is kind of realizing like this organization really can't produce the results that they're looking for. There's some pretty much insurance to make sure that the project can still be completed.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, well, I appreciate that. And look, the name of this session, right, is asking the right questions, right? It's basically for when you're preparing to get into those rooms, to have the conversations with the people who can really give you, you know, give you the opportunity to make sure you're asking the right questions of them. First of all, how do you find those? How does a contractor who's probably going to be a subcontractor, how can they even find events to network with prime contractors? Because we all know sometimes it's who you know. It's not always what you know. A lot of times it's who you know. So how do you even find these events?
So first, you really would need to identify like, well, one, assess your business capacity, right? Understand fully like what you have the ability to really accomplish, because then that'll direct you into figuring out like what organizations that you should look into. And so the good thing is that the transportation agencies have several pre-bid conferences and networks, and we encourage firms to like also network within their trade associations. And there are so many trade associations like based off of like your specific industry. So if you're in trucking, like, you know, a quick Google search can easily populate over 10 trade associations specifically related to trucking. And so then as someone who's trying to like connect with them, you reach out, you see like when they're having an upcoming event, you see if maybe like you can become a member, so then that you're truly plugged in into the network and you can find out everything as it relates to upcoming contracts. But then to your point, it's about who you know, right? So just being in the rooms with people who are in the industry who could be super seasoned and who can pass your information along, like that really puts you in the position to really win.
Sometimes it is just about getting in the room. And that's a common phrase that, you know, maybe I got hit to once COVID hit. I don't know if it was before then, but, you know, getting in the room is something that I've heard repeatedly over the last 3 years. But it, you know, I've lived by it. I understand it. It's the power of networking. It's very, very important. So once the contractor or the potential subcontractor has the attention of the prime contractor, what are the questions? I know it's going to change based on, you know, whatever specific project we're talking about, but what are some questions that, you know, can get the subcontractor along those lines of the things they need to know to fill out if they can really, you know, participate to be of value on that contract?
I would say the not so like general questions. So if you read the plans and specifications and make sure that you can perform the type of services that are being offered, then your questions should be very like tailored towards your specific business. The question shouldn't be like, because I'm trying to think back to the symposium, like this was something that we discussed as well. Something very general, like, where do I go and look for the opportunity on your website? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in front of a prime, that's not a great first impression, because the thought is, you knew I was going to be here. You've done your research. You've like dug through our website to, you know, find those opportunities. You've called our offices. If you weren't able to find it on the website, to see where you can find those opportunities. So now that you're in my face, the question should be very, very tailored towards like your specific business. So I'm a DBE firm. I've been doing, like asphalting for 6 years. I know that you currently have a bid open for this specific project. like, how can I make sure, set myself up in the best way possible as I'm going through this process to make sure I can be a part of this project? Like, something more like that, something very specific and says, like, I've done my homework, I'm aware of the opportunities that exist, and I'm just, if anything, I'm just trying to make sure the way that I'm putting in my bid is, like, selling myself the best way possible.
All right, man, you just took me back. I remember when I was trying to join my fraternity. And I had that first conversation, didn't know nothing. Never again. Never
right? Again.
That is so funny. But no, it makes sense. I mean, you if it's on the internet, you're supposed to know it. And you got to show it ready to really get that specialized attention so that they can know that you are prepared and that they're catering their conversation, their answers to how you can actually move to the next level and, you know, understand some technical aspect versus, you know, the basics of where can I even find the information on the website. So no, that's a great point. And you know, just my own, me being as transparent, like I've actually participated in government contracts. I've helped go through and do the research to make sure certain companies can do certain things that were required on the solicitation. But even I get confused reading these things sometimes. Like sometimes I don't even know what's up, what's down. And, you know, I'm one of those folks that can really utilize some technical resources. I think that's something that your office also does, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And because there are so many of these different organizations, these SBTRC, Small Business Transportation Resource Centers across the nation, I think you said it was 12 of them. Do they all provide that type of stuff?
So if anything, the SBTRCs function as like a liaison between the small businesses and then the federal MOLs and the other like agencies within their respective states who have procurement opportunities for those businesses. So let's say like you're trying to become DBE certified and you have been able to get in contact with someone in the appropriate office in Georgia, that would be GDOT or MARTA, then you can definitely reach out to us because we have direct contact with the procurement office, with the supportive services office, and we can be able to like liaison to figure out like what's the holdup and then assist you with whatever you may need assistance with. But that's something that all the SBTRCs are able to do.
Okay. And just high level, everybody, these offices, they are able to provide business analysis, right? Market research and procurement assistance, general management and technical assistance, business counseling and coaching, regional planning committees, liaison between prime contractors, subcontractors, outreach, conference participation, capital access and surety bond assistance. And of course, we got the WITI, Women and Girls in Transportation Initiative. So I love that. I appreciate you answering that because like I said, I'm one of those folks that I know once I get it, I got it, but you know, help me up front, please. And you mentioned this, you talked about, you know, folks who are non-dump truck, non-asphalt companies, professional services. Talk about, you know, what about the folks who are in those roles who don't have the asphalt experience or the dump trucks? How are they positioning themselves to find where they can fit in, you know, on these contracts?
Yeah, so like I said, like the BIL presents a lot of businesses with the opportunity to really tap into a lot of money. But to be honest, they are overwhelmed with their own forecasted projects. And so this creates that avenue for businesses who don't like aren't obvious transportation related to really tap into these opportunities. So if anything, I would just encourage firms to reach out to the agencies because they have a list of contractors who are currently doing the work. And then also the networking, you know, reach out to the appropriate associations and figure out like, what's your niche? What exactly is it that you're trying to do so that when you go to these events, the information makes sense? Because it's not going to make sense, let's say, if you provide professional services. I'm trying to think of something that's kind of like out there. Let's say diversity, equity, inclusion. So DEI professional services, right? That doesn't initially read like a field or a lane that would be related to this type of work. But if you can't really call out like what you can contribute to a project within the transportation construction industry, then going to these networking events is not going to have the most benefit. So you really have to know like what it is that you're bringing to the table and your bandwidth, so that you know how to present yourself, so you know what makes the most sense to show up to. Because you don't want to just hoard a whole bunch of information, go home, and then you're kind of like stuck because you don't know where to start with it, which is what a lot of people do tend to do, right? Like we feel good about going to the networking events and learning all this great information, but then you get home and you're like, how does this actually apply to the work that I do specifically? But you weren't able to ask those questions there because you weren't very clear about like how you can show up in the space.
Right, right. And the reason why I even, you know, want to bring that up is because, you know, my community, although some are in the place where they might have dump truck companies or asphalt company, road paving companies, all that kind of stuff. The majority of the people who I've been speaking to for years are the folks that were doing the over the road transportation with semis, taking cargo from here to there. And, you know, sometimes those contracts are not specifically written with cargo, you know, in mind. And that's where a lot of the specialties lie. So definitely hearing you there, it apparently this takes a lot of prep work, which is, you know, understood. It's a huge deal, but it just makes sense. And it just seems as though you definitely got to do your due diligence to make sure you understand how you can tell people about what you got going on so that maybe they can even help you fill in those blanks or those gaps as to where you can actually participate.
I agree. I will say, like, this isn't a lane, like, trying to do contracting with the government. It's not something you can just, like, wake up and say, I'm going to go for this. It just simply doesn't work like that. Like, you really have to have your, like, business affairs in order. You got to be able to produce documents, like, quickly. Not a, like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. Like, you should know everything you need in order to, like, really show up in these spaces and submit bids that make sense. Because then you're just doing yourself a disservice. Like, this isn't work that you can rush. This is work that requires you to be super intentional. It requires you to really like sit down and think through like what's the end goal, and be honest with yourself about your like bandwidth to do the work. Because if not, like it's gonna show. When it comes to a construction project, like if you lie and say that you are able to do something and you can't, you know, there's no way that that's going to like be able to be swept under the rug. Like it's going to be evident that this person lied. And your reputation is everything. That's an easy way to get more opportunities if you are able to do the work and you do a great job at it. But the same applies in the reverse. If you lie and you're not able to do a great job at the work, like that's going to follow you.
Gotcha. Nah, definitely got to stand on your word. Definitely got to do that. Okay. All right. And well, we talked about resources, right? You guys are able to point people in the direction if they're interested in getting their DBE. And that's something I would definitely encourage folks to get. I ended up getting mine maybe a year and a half ago. And while the application process was pretty rigorous, it's definitely manageable. You can do it yourself. So I mean, if you don't have the bandwidth or the time, sure, pay somebody to do it, but it's definitely something that you can do yourself. If you're in the Atlanta area, you got to go through MARTA. I believe they're still owning that process. I know that other counties, it might be different, but I believe just the Atlanta, the Fulton County area, you have to go through MARTA. But yeah, as far as, you know, you also mentioned, or one of the other things that your office is able to assist people with is gaining access to capital. How do you help those folks do that? And, you know, is it a relatively simple process, if even if it's somebody, organization that doesn't have, you know, pages and pages of past performance?
So what I do want to just mention with the DBE thing, so if you're in the Atlanta metropolitan area, then yes, you go through MARTA for that. But if you're outside of that region, then you would go through GDOT for the DBE certification. But as far as access to capital, so we partner with the SBA and other traditional and non-traditional banks. So we had a access to capital panel, which was actually led by the director of the Access to Capital Initiative with USDOT, the OSDE Boot Office, Sam Boyd. And so one thing to make sure of when you are trying to like develop this relationship with lenders and banks is to make sure the bank does underwriting for construction related loans, because you can definitely like go to a bank and they don't necessarily do underwriting for that. And it can just be like a waste of time, to be honest. So we encourage people to develop a relationship with lenders now, because if you are pursuing contracts without an access to capital plan, it's essentially a recipe for a disaster. Like, you need to have that in order before you start this bidding process.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I truly appreciate your time on this. And I did want to ask, you know, when it comes to being able to go to your organization for some assistance, I have to be able to tell you a certain amount of things, a certain amount of information, so you can get what you need from me in order to help me. Like, what are those type of things that you need? What is that baseline information that you guys need in order to assist when it comes to the coaching, the counseling, even getting the access to capital? Like, are there minimum requirements that somebody should already have in their bag before they even reach out to you?
So yeah, so it kind of ties into the bonding piece, right? So how I said that in order, what is it? The 250K mark. So we typically are dealing with businesses who have that much gross revenue coming in, 250K, because then like they're able to get the bonds and then they're able to like do the federal contract work. That is our like priority requirement for the businesses that we work with. I will say though, if you're a business and like you're just getting started in the transportation industry, we can definitely still provide some assistance to you, as it relates to pointing you in the right direction to like really help you get started. So like if you need help with the capability statement or you need to figure out what that is, we can assist with that. But let's say like you need basic business assistance, then we definitely have partner organizations that we work with closely who we can refer you to until you're like at the position to come to us, and we can really like put you on a path to successfully bid and secure a contract with the government.
As far as that bonding, I know that we're high level on it. Something that was simple, like something that's kind of like well known in the transportation, the cargo carrying side of things, is something called a surety bond. Is this the same thing that you know of? Is it, when you say bonding, is it the same thing? Because most brokerages have to get a surety bond, you know, to get their situation on and popping.
Yes, essentially it's the same thing.
You know, what else? I mean, what did we miss out of this conversation? Is there anything that you feel like we needed to talk about that would give people more game that I hadn't been able to, you know, ask so far?
I mean, I could speak a little briefly on WITI, because I kind of like ran through the acronym real quick at the beginning. But again, WITI, it is Women and Girls in Transportation Initiative. So our host organization and the SBTRC, so the I-State Boot Office, they launched the WITI initiative in 2009 under the Obama executive order. And so today, essentially what WITI does is provide internships and it allows the SBTRCs to serve as clearinghouses for young women seeking careers in the transportation industry. And so through WITI, we organize an internship program. It can be in the summer or fall time for students who are interested in transportation. But then we also liaison with community partners and organizations to see like what women are currently in the industry doing amazing work. And we invite them to be a part of our WITI committee, which is a committee that we meets quarterly to pretty much discuss, you know, industry trends and see how we can make transportation opportunities more apparent to girls in our local community. And that's throughout Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. So throughout our entire region. But if, of course, if you're outside of that region, the other SBTRCs have the same initiative where they're pushing the same agenda. And it also allows us to do a lot of outreach to local and MSI, so minority serving institutions, where we partner with them to identify girls who are interested in doing this work. And then we design a whole internship program based off of what they would like to learn, based off of the opportunities that they think they're interested in. And then we give them access to other women who are in the industry. So I can't think of her name, Kimberly, with GDOT. Like, that's a great WITI partner that we have that we're able to give young girls access to just, like, learn her story, how she got to where she is currently. And then I can't think of her name. I think it may be Megan Prinkle. She is the chief engineer with GDOT, another woman who's done amazing work in Georgia and who is now in a really high position, you know, allowing women and girls to have access to her and learn more about her background and how she got the role that she has, which is really important because the transportation industry is dominated by men. We'll be lying if we said that wasn't true. And so, you know, we just want to be intentional about, you know, changing up that narrative.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And I mentioned this last week that within the transportation space, I've learned so much from women. So I know it's a male-dominated industry, but I've personally learned so much and been, you know, I've been helped a lot by women in this industry. So I'm just very appreciative. And I also mentioned you last week to that person because she has a pretty senior role in a freight brokerage, a top 100 freight brokerage. And I know that she had gotten a lot of, she was doing a lot of work to also bridge that gap to create more opportunities for women within the transportation, the logistics space. So I definitely love to be able to connect y'all. I plugged that last week, but I definitely want to do it. And I don't know if you know, but your boy is the president of the supply chain board for Atlanta Tech. We right here. You know, okay. So if you're talking about getting opportunities for students, I definitely feel like there are going to be some bright minds there who are seeking those type of areas where they can get exposed to, you know, other women who are really hitting in the industry. So, you know, definitely want to also see what we can do there. But I appreciate you so much. Is there anything that you wanted to say before we close out?
So if you would like to learn a bit more about the work that we do, I know there's the link for like our previous webinars and trainings, which is actually great information. Like if you want to learn more about bonding, you want to learn about bidding, marketing, like we have a wealth of videos available now via that accessconf.com link that's posted in the chat. Where you can like kind of do some self-learning, but beyond that, you can get in contact with me And I can put it in the chat. I'm going to say it out loud too, but my email address is yedge, so EDGE, my last name, at msasbtrc.org. Or you can call our office at 404-334-0545. And again, we have some upcoming bonding education programs coming up. We're really trying to do some type of programming around all the money that's coming to the airport, which is very exciting. So that businesses can, you know, have that on their resume that they did some work with Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. And then we are going to be starting some witty initiatives this fall. So if you're a part of an organization, you know someone who could be a great partner for us in our efforts to really make this witty thing pop this year, definitely reach out and let me know. But beyond that, like I said, you can just contact me in the office with all of your DBE certification, access to capital needs, and we will definitely assist you.
Oh, one thing that you mentioned, which was the opportunity to do some of the work at Hartsfield-Jackson, the airport here in Atlanta. You know, I remember being in that session, the symposium, where they said that this one right here is just a little bit different than opportunities in the past, because most times in the past it'd be, well, you got to be asphalt, you got to be, you know, pavement or something outside fixing the roads or, you know, whatever, or the runways. But now there are opportunities for all types of contractors and service mm-hmm. providers, because they're actually going to be working on the physical structure of the airport, even internally, you know what I mean? So it might be some carpets, you know, it might be that stuff like that.
Like there's right now, there's a, I think there's a bid out for someone to come and work on bathrooms. And like, a lot of people are like, I don't do that, but you can.
But you can. Yeah. I think they, well, I think they said it's 40 mil.
Yes. It's contract. A lot of money. It's a lot of money coming to Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. So right now is the best time to like meet with us. Let's make sure you have all of your affairs in order so you can put that bid in and you can get that money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate you so much. And everybody, thank you for the support. Tune in on Wednesday. Wednesday, who are we talking to? Wednesday, we have a session with DSV. And DSV, I mean, you guys might know, they are probably, I think, number four in the world moving freight. So that means that they're moving so much freight. They're a huge organization. This session right here is going to be a little bit different. It's how to move weight legally, because I'm talking to their head of pharma compliance. So all she do is tell folks and truckers what they need to do in order to be able to meet the regulations to move all the pharmaceuticals that they're transporting. So definitely tune in Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Ms. Yasmin, thank you so much. I truly appreciate you being receptive to this conversation. And if there's anything I can do to help, please just let me know.
Thank you so much. And I hope this was helpful to everyone. And like I said, definitely reach out if y'all need help.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Be blessed.